Over the last 10 years, the International Stroke Genetics Consortium has brought multiple genetics researchers together from across the globe and has accumulated, and this has all culminated in the Megastroke Project. This project is the largest genetics project ever undertaken and has identified 22 new genetic risk factors for stroke. I spoke with Professor Jane Maguire from the Faculty of Health at the University of Technology, Sydney.
What this study has shown us, which is quite remarkable, is that we have confirmed 10 variants that are existing variants that contribute to stroke risk. And before I go further, I'll tell you what a variant is. So if you think about a sentence like DNA gives us the information that then tells the cells what to do and what, and then the protein that results. So if you think of a sentence, the black dog ran down the ball, ran down the hall.
Yeah.
If you take hall away and put ball in place, that's an example of a variation. So if you can also remove letters or you can remove words in those DNA sentences. So they're variants. Some of them have an effect and maybe have a health impact. Some of them have no effect at all. So what this study has shown us is that we've found 10 that we've already found before and then confirmed it in a much larger sample. So that gives us a much more certainty about those results. You always want to replicate results when you do science. We've also found 22 new ones that are shared across other diseases, which is really quite remarkable.
Are they neurological type diseases?
Not necessarily.
No? Okay.
No, and that's why it's sort of interesting.
Yeah.
But what's most interesting is that we've got 11 that are in completely new biological pathways. So what that means is that we now have new target options for new therapies. So we can now start looking a bit broader than what we have been doing in the effective therapies we do have, but we can actually broaden that out now.
And this is quite a big study, isn't it? I mean, I understand you had 520,000 samples across Europe, North America, South America, Asia, Africa and Australia. That's a huge study, isn't it?
Correct, yes.
How do you do that with people overseas? It must be hard to coordinate this.
Over 500,000 subjects have gone into this study, and it requires enormous collaboration between interested, passionate researchers, which is what the International Stroke Genetics Consortium has brought together. It's a group of people that do most of this work pro gratis.
And is that where Megastroke comes from?
Megastroke has sprung out of this because we realised 10 years ago that we needed more numbers. We know that in other diseases like schizophrenia and diabetes, if you triple the number, the sample size, you'll triple the number of variants that you find.
Ah, I see.
So the larger the sample size, and that comes back to the research design, which is a case control design.
Is there anything that sort of jumped out at you straight away, or you and your other collaborators in this, is there anything that jumped out at you that thought, well, this is something that probably people could work on pretty quickly to come up with an answer? Is there anything that might be?
Yes, probably the most clinically translatable aspect of this that we get excited about. And yes, we get excited about big numbers, but I don't think the general public does. But we do because we know what that means. But the what is exciting is that of those variants, 16 of those are in known drug targets. So they are areas that have already been explored and utilised as drug targets for other diseases. And two of those are actually drug targets for medications for antithrombolysis, so which is one of the main causes of a stroke, is a blood clot.
It's a clot, isn't it?
That exactly
can move from the heart if you've got AF, or you can, or it can really occur anywhere in the body, can't it? And just move. And I suppose, tell me if I'm wrong here, but the brain with all the it's like going to smaller roads that everything narrows, and that's where the clot gets stuck somewhere in the brain, and blocks.
And depending on where it gets stuck, that will end up giving somebody various outcomes or symptoms. So, you know, depending on where it's stuck, you might have a limb weakness, you may have a language problem, or you may have an emotional problem too. There's areas of the brain to do with the emotional centres. So it varies.
And so personally, how exciting was it when you saw these results, when you first saw them, your first look?
It's extraordinary.
Is it?
I mean, I've worked in stroke research since my PhD days. My doctoral data is in this data set. It's, I recruited patients, from Gossett Hospital and John Hunter and the Mater Hospital. And those patients, I'm very grateful for them taking part in this study right at the very beginning so that Australia could contribute 1,230 cases, which is not very much when you think about it in the scheme of things, but it means Australia's in there. And so to see it come to fruition at this level in a Nature paper with a large study like this and to have the findings we have, and they have been so rigorously identified, and then the quality control that goes into these papers is extraordinary. And with the teams that have come around to do this, it's amazing. It is. So I suppose I'd say I was amazed and excited, but it's not about me. It's about what we can do for these patients. And we really feel we're really starting to accelerate now, but it's taken 10 years of collaboration across the globe.
Professor Jane McGuire there from the Faculty of Health, University of Technology, Sydney, on that mega stroke project and ending that report.